Good morning.
Good morning.
Good to be back. It's been an adventure, a fun adventure, but it's nice to be back. So today we talk about grace and love. And in the essence of all our teachings and all that we do and be, that in truth, without grace and love as the first things first, then there really is not Christianity. And for that matter, there really is not the Buddhist or the Tao. This is the teaching. This is where it all comes from. To go forth with an idea and not having this as the foundation is to have swayed away from all that God is, from all that Jesus taught, as his disciples taught. It is the core of the healing process that takes place within ourselves. It is the core that it takes place within others. It is the core of how we rise up in God consciousness. Without it, then there is only race mind. We're living in the tree of knowledge of duality, talking scripture, and wondering why it doesn't work too well. I chose these three passages, these three books this morning, Acts, Romans, Ephesians. It is during a very difficult time for Paul. And Acts, of course, was written by Luke, who he had traveled with, which I should say had traveled with Paul. And Paul was his teacher. And Luke was a great physician from Greece. Could have had a wonderful career, I'm sure. Many had hailed him as brilliant, as quite the man of science of the day and a great doctor. But he chose to walk with Paul. And of course, Romans was written by Paul, as was Ephesians. But Acts and Ephesians was during Paul's imprisonment, during his darkest hours. The two years he spent in prison, and also in a little cottage that they let, a little house that they let him have him stay in, where he was still imprisoned, and he lived with the idea that any day they could come and behead him because he was to be killed. And he had been tortured and beaten. And it was also a very dark time for Luke because he stayed with him the whole 2 years and visited him at times when he could have been easily imprisoned and was briefly imprisoned. They considered him a rebel rouser. In fact, Luke was considered a troublemaker and a rebel rouser, not just by the Romans, but also by the Christians, the Jews, because he was a Gentile. And they weren't too crazy yet about the Gentiles. So during this time of this imprisonment, it was also when Nero burned a big part of Rome down and blamed the Christians for it. It was also a time where Christians were being executed and burned at the stake on a daily basis and tortured and everything else. Now, during this time, many were challenged. How do you stay in this idea of grace and love and to be human beings of peace? Why don't we retaliate? Why do we not stand up and fight against them? And some tried to, and even Luke had his doubts. But here he visited Paul at a time when he was still actually in a prison. And Paul told him, you cannot do these things. It will not work. If you were to do these things, then you are not a Christian. That it is grace and love that must always be at the helm, no matter what other people are doing, no matter what is happening. It is in this that only this consciousness can truly come into fruition. And Paul knew it was his time, and as for Luke and many others, they did eventually go to Greece, where Christians were a lot more accepted and tolerated. Many had stayed in Rome because it was their land, and they just didn't want to leave. They wanted to stand up as Christians as best as they could to get as many people into the safety and into the truth. And I think about how easy it is to sway away from this in times of trouble. How easy it is to forget about this and just take another path. And I think of how powerful Paul's message was, that he kept in the teachings of what Jesus Christ taught. Either we're doing this or we're not doing it. Either we believe in this or we don't believe it. Either God is omnipresent and that consciousness is everywhere and everything, and that word is the word that is how we are to live and be, or it's not omnipresent. It's only sometimes. But that's up to the individual to believe in. The Bible tells us we live in the midst of God. Well, again, we can either believe in that or not believe in it. I can clutter myself with all kinds of thinking and thoughts and pleasures and sidetrack myself with projects and everything else and blow this off because I'm just too busy. And I'm okay right now. But when we look for a deeper understanding and a deeper presence of living in this consciousness, I can either live in this and start to experience that or not. In my personal life, I've seen many times from other people who've had great healings, and myself. I recently, part of when I chose to leave work at the jail, my health was deteriorating. I was also having serious knee problems in my left, and then my right knee I was in pain constantly. And as I left this place and began to realize I had to change, you know, to sacrifice myself like that to the wolves, then I have started to deteriorate in living in this consciousness. I did the best I could for as long as I could. And there comes a time to move on. Now, I've been out of there for 3 months, and the knee problems are pretty much gone, which were excruciating. I thought for certain doctors, surgeries, all this kind of stuff. But the left is just about completely gone, and the right is like 96% gone. But I turned it over. I said, it's God's grace, God's love. And I don't know what I'm doing. God does. So I surrender it. You know, as a practitioner, I really don't know what I'm doing. When I start to think I know what I'm doing, I'm going to make a mess of things. But in the grace and the love and the moving beyond words and thoughts, something far greater begins to happen than I can understand. But my faith tells me it's true. And in faith, I rejoice in the truth. I still don't know how it works. I haven't a clue. But it does. I don't need to know. You know? Other things, other people. One person I'm currently working with in this men's meeting I have on Wednesdays, one in particular is embracing this idea of grace and love, and is having an unbelievable turnaround. All because he's changed his thinking. And so things are happening. I may have mentioned he was in a panic about finances, and he really surrendered it over into the prosperity of the infinite abundant source. And we get done talking, we prayed and everything, and he calls me 2 hours later and said some company he forgot that he worked for when he was a kid, a young man. Turns out he was there long enough, and that day in the mail he was being informed that he had a pension coming from that company. And so ends his troubles, his financial problems. But he already ended them. He already stopped with them. I knew that I would get better. I don't know how long it would take. I just can't sit there and go, well, it didn't happen today, or a week goes by, it didn't happen. It doesn't always happen in a day. Nona Brooks had the throat problem where she almost choked to death. Went on for the longest time before it cleared up. But her faith did not dwell. She kept in the truth that she would be healed. And she was healed. Often especially in her earlier years, and I do mean years of working as a practitioner, things didn't happen quickly. As the years went on, she was able to work at a quicker pace, but she had to learn a lot about getting into that meditative state of a higher consciousness, as she explains, where everything was out of her mind. It's not even to think positive thoughts. It's to move beyond thinking positive thoughts to override the negative thoughts. It's about not having positive thoughts or negative thoughts. Often a lot of people get caught up with their daily affirmations or saying this and that. And it helps them as a problem solver or to feel emotionally a little bit better about life and themselves. But there comes a time where that has to stop. In the deeper consciousness of it, just citing these things will not help. There comes a point where we use them to get to a point. Like I tell people, it's like metaphysics. We use metaphysics to get to that point of silence. We don't just use metaphysics to solve everything. As it's the same thing. It's like the theologian should not be so wrapped up in theology. Well, the metaphysician should not be so wrapped up in metaphysics to where they miss the point and not do the work. But have a very intellectual comprehension of metaphysics and even have a certain amount of emotional and mental satisfaction from it. And of course that'll help out physically, because if you're emotionally and mentally feeling good, you usually feel physically a little better too. But that's not where it ends. I mean, even Quimby talked about it when he moved away from mesmerism and called it humbug. He had to move away from manipulating another person into good health. He had to move beyond that, because it really was just a blockage. Well, you might block something, it's still there, so it has a real good chance of going off into some other place and doing its little thing somewhere else. And so he realized that was not the path, and he removed himself from that altogether. And as he always said, his main thing for the work to be done would not be him doing it. But what he did do was to help a person raise up in their consciousness and to stop believing in the lies. Once they could stop believing in the lies, he felt there was hope for them to go into that state of being that's already who we are, to rise up into better health and a healthier mind, a healthier emotional state of being, and of course a healthier physical body. So in these teachings, you know, they tell us that we are filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues and as the Spirit gave them utterance. Well, I know some faiths, they make all these noises and stuff. I don't know what that, whatever, if that's working. But for me, my idea of speaking in other tongues is what I'm talking about right now, because most people won't have a clue what I'm talking about. And that's speaking from the Holy Spirit. And that comes from the tongues of the Holy Spirit. And what is the Holy Spirit? I am one. So the holiness of it all is the cleansing that has taken place. And now that which is already being freely given to me from divine source, I have the clarity to become receptive to it. It's already there. The Holy Spirit already exists. The Holy Spirit is you. But it takes the cleansing of getting rid of the clutter and the chaos and the ill thinking and the sabotage thoughts and all that to be able to allow oneself to have their spirit cleansed that well, so that then the holiness of it, the divine wisdom, the illumination of it, which is also called the deep inner knowledge of God, comes through us. I've unclogged myself so that I could be myself. You know. And the second part, but ye are not in the flesh, but in the Spirit. If so, be that the Spirit of God dwell in you. Now, if any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. And it's basically just what I just talked about. I can just get all wrapped up in the flesh and talk even like this. Everything I said, I can even say all this from the flesh. But I'm not going to see it work very well. You know, and it gets really tricky because you can hear a lot of deep wisdom said from the flesh. But it's not from the flesh. It's from the Word. And the Word is Spirit. And we are the Spirit. And we are the Word. The last part, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men, but speaking the truth in love. See, divine science, its greatest gift to me is that it taught me the truth. And that truth is grace and love. and it's given me the clarity to know when somebody's talking nonsense. I pick up on it real fast, whether they're talking deep spiritual stuff, and that's what this is talking about. I as if I'm truly doing this, that I don't have to be thrown around to and fro and carried about in every wind created by man. There's a lot of windbags out there, let me tell you, and they're very intellectual, and they're very knowledgeable. They know a lot about a lot, and they're windbags. You know, a lot of people are lost in their anger, and they express from their anger. See, we have to express from the grace and love. When we express from our anger, then we're lost. No matter what we know, we're lost. But when we express from the grace and love, and it is in that order. First it is grace. From the grace is the love. In the beginning, grace can be something as simple as it can be tied in a little bit to God's mercy. Oh, God's grace, He's so merciful. But as we go deeper into this, it expands. God's grace, it's this infinite space where I can go and learn and live, make my mistakes, learn from my mistakes, and go on about it. It becomes more than just mercy. It's grace. And that grace, from that grace comes this absolute love. As Dr. Salazar pointed out a few years ago, he said, God doesn't love you. God is love, and you are in the midst of God, and you were created of God, and you are as much that love as God is love. So how can He love you when you are He and He is you, or you are she and she is you? You are in the midst of that love, which is far greater than somebody loving. It's, I am love. I am that I am, and I am love. I'm in the midst. I am loved because I am created. That's why I am loved. You know, to say He loves you is thinking in separation, really. You can get caught up in it. It's a real fine line. But to realize that I am just love because God is love. And all that love that God is, I can learn and live and be and breathe and will be filled with it, for I live in the midst of it. I'll take that any day of the week. I can't even comprehend it, but I like it. Man, I sure do like it. In fact, I love it. Anyway, so I wanted to bring about these three books because it's a pretty, as I said, very difficult time in Christianity. And yet, in the darkest hours, it still said, put grace and love first. Put your faith in that no matter what's happening today. Do not concern yourself with the shortcomings of the world and the things that go on about us. Put your faith in grace and love. If you'll join me in a closing prayer, we give thanks for this divine truth that is being so freely given to us. We simply embrace it, become receptive to it, and then express it as we evolve and learn and become more in the image and likeness of that great, divine, perfect, infinite source of pure grace and love. For we are one. And so it is. Amen.